I want to talk to you today about the blessing in the middle. The blessing in the middle. We are in the middle of a pandemic. And there's a tendency that we have to think that the worst. But I want us today to talk about and to focus about the blessing in the middle. Say it with me. The blessing in the middle. And what I want you to do as you're listening with me today, I want you, as I'm teaching you today, I want you to think about all the blessings that are taking place right in this middle of the pandemic. How many of you ever had an Oreo cookie before? Come on, tell the truth. I didn't say how many of you had 10,000 Oreo cookies. Although some of you could raise your hands to that. But how many of you have at least had, you know what, one in the last 5 years? Yes, my hand goes up too. And for some of you, how many of you, before you eat the Oreo cookie, what do? You unscrew it. Can you unscrew an Oreo? Of course you can. You unscrew it. And what do? You eat the middle. Why? Because the middle is good. Okay. What about a ice cream sundae? What's in the middle of ice cream sundae? Ice cream. You know what? The blessing is in the middle, okay? What about a hot dog? You know what I mean? What's the blessing? The blessing is the hot dog. You know what I mean? It's, okay. So in the middle of all kinds of things, there's so many blessings. What I want you to do as I'm preaching, please, please, please pay attention to my message today because it is going to be so helpful in this upcoming weeks for you to, watch this, for you to change. Many of you, listen to me, many of you, you're just so filled with anxiety and worry and concern. And what I want to do today is I want to get you up out of that doubt, that fear and unbelief, and I want to, watch this, I want to move you to change your perspective. I want you to start seeing this whole thing in a different picture and a different light. Now listen, I want to be serious with this. I'm not saying that this pandemic hasn't brought great sorrow and pain and even death. And I don't make light of that. And I don't want to act like those who've lost people, you know what, in the world and even in this country, I don't want to make light of it like it's no big deal. So please don't misunderstand me. But having said that, what I'm telling you is the truth. There's got to be a paradigm shift in how we are looking at this situation, and we need to recognize in the midst, watch this, in the midst, I'm going to show it to you later on, in the midst of the storm, the apostles learn lessons that is going to serve them positively for the rest of their life. The blessing in the middle. What I want you to do as I teach today is I want you, and I don't know exactly how you do this, but you know what? I want you to respond. I want you to text me, and we'll get it at the church, and I want you to tell me about the blessings that are happening in your life right in the middle. Let me give you one of mine. The other day, I came home. I'd worked all day. I'd been up from early in the morning till late at night the day before and the day before and the day before. And I came home, and I just plopped myself on the couch and thought, man, I'm just going to lay here. And as I laid there, I saw my family and a bunch of close friends all around the kitchen table in our dining room, and they were laughing, they were playing games, and they were fellowshipping together. And listen, I can't remember when the last time I saw that. The blessing in the middle. That right in the middle of this pandemic, that there are so many wonderful things that are taking place that that will help you and that you can see. And what I want you to do is I want you to make those comments. Yeah, it's not a, thank you. It's not a, it's not text. I want you to make comments. That's the wording. That's the technology. So, and do that throughout the preaching. But please listen to what I'm saying, because it's really important. Matter of fact, before we go on, can we just pray? Can we just pray for those who've lost loved ones, and that the Holy Spirit would comfort them? You say, Pastor, how does that happen? I don't know. It's supernatural. Can we pray that for even people who might have this virus, that they would just fully humble out and depend upon God, and that the healing power of God would touch their life in a crazy radical way? Hey, we just sang about it. You know what? What was the song we sang about God? You know what is the God of the impossible? Nothing is impossible. Can we pray? I want to pray with you. I want you to step out in faith. Start to put a trust in God. And I know other people think, oh, that's crazy. Listen, it's not crazy to trust God. Like I got this from Ronald today, and it was so good. I want to share it with you. He says, Ronald texts me this. He says, let's make sure we test positive for faith. Amen. He says, keep a safe distance from doubt and isolate from unbelief. That is a good text that he sent me this morning. Can we do that? Yep. Father, we pray. And first of all, we pray for anyone who's lost loved ones and friends, you know what, and family, you know what, to this insidious virus. Father, we pray that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding would guard their heart and their life. May we not be so caught up in our own lives that we don't take the time to weep for those who are weeping. And so, Father, for those that are weeping right now because of loss, we pray that your Holy Spirit supernaturally would comfort their hearts and their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. And we also pray for those who even have been tested positive. May we, Father, just grab a hold of those people by faith and start to believe that the supernatural God will not only deliver them from this virus, but Father, deliver them with a mighty hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. So let's talk about the blessing in the middle. You know, it's interesting because oftentimes I remember going with my family, and my dad always liked going to amusement parks. He, even when he started to get older, he still would like to go and ride the roller coasters and all that. Well, he was getting up in age, and the family thought, you know what, we better get him to Magic Mountain, because you know what, at some point in time, you know, he's not going to be able to ride those roller coasters. So we went out and we went to Magic Mountain, had a great time. Here's the interesting thing. Sometimes we're so we're so caught up in getting to the destination. We think, you know what, as soon as we purchase that home, as soon as we get that car, as soon as we get that boyfriend, as soon as we get that girlfriend, as soon as we, and our life becomes miserable because we're never, we did a whole preaching on this. Matter of fact, go to the website and look for it. It's called, what's it called? It's called The Sweet Spot. We did a whole series. The sweet spot is today. The sweet spot isn't when I get there. We can live a life where we're always looking, you know what, how awesome it was in the past, how great our life was in the past, how awesome it's going to be in the future, and we never live the really quality life that God wants us to live because the sweet spot is in the middle. What I'm saying is there's times that that we don't even recognize what really is important. We went to Magic Mountain. We had a great time. But I can't remember any of the rides we went on. You know what I remember? I remember the ride up to Magic Mountain. Because it was the ride up to Magic Mountain that the family was all together and that we just talked about just crazy, wonderful experiences that we all could share. That's what I remember. You know what? I remember going to Dodger games with my dad. And out of all the Dodger games that I went to with my dad, I can't remember. I don't remember the scores. I don't remember details. You know what I remember? I remember going out to the parking lot after the game was over and walking on the edge at Chavez Ravine and looking at the city lights. And I remember my dad talking about, you know what, when he was a kid growing up in Los Angeles. See, many times we lose priority. And what I'm saying, I'm not saying that this virus isn't hideous. What I'm saying is, you know what, that in the midst, I'm saying what the Bible said is in Romans, that God is able to take all these things and he's able to turn it for a blessing for those who love him and those who are called to his purposes. That's what I'm saying. I want to talk to you today about the blessings in the middle. The first thing I wanted you to recognize in the blessing in the middle is this. Number one, tough times make us tough. Yeah. Tough times make us tough. Yeah. You don't build big muscles, you know what, going from the top of a hill on your bicycle to the bottom of the hill. Sometimes I'll take a drive up to Big Bear for whatever reason, and I'll see these people. Have you seen them? They're on bikes, and they're going up the mountain. I mean, that is crazy. But how many know, you know what, when they're, what's happening as they're going up the mountain? They're building all their muscles. They're building their cardiovascular. They're making a difference in going up the hill. What's my point? My point is, tough times make us tough. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians. Paul recognizes this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Look what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. Look what it says. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength, everybody say strength, is made perfect in weakness. Oh, do you see that? God says, no, Paul, my grace is not insufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. Watch this. For my strength is made perfect. Do you see that? I love the words in the Bible because they're so picked on purpose. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. There's something that happens when we are challenged. And when we're challenged, we start to put our dependency away from us and on to God. And when that happens, there's listen to me. There's this perfection that doesn't take place when you're always depending upon you, when you're always trying to figure it out, when you're always trying to fix it, when you are always trying to leaning unto your own understanding, or not only your own understanding, but your neighbors and your friends, and you're getting counsel from all kinds of people, but you forget to cry out to God and say, God, I need help in this situation. And Paul is saying, what I recognize is when I am weak, then I have a tendency to turn to God, and watch this, for my strength is made perfect. Who's saying this? And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you will humble out and cry out to God and say, God, I don't know how to fix my marriage. Help me. When you'll cry out to God and say, God, I don't know how to get through this mess. Then all of a sudden, why? Because we have not, because we ask not. And all of a sudden you open up this reality. Let me tell you about God. God doesn't force his will on anyone. Good theology. God doesn't force his will on anyone. His will is that none perish, he says. And yet the Bible says hell continues to expand. Why? Because people continue to reject God and reject his Son and reject his Holy Spirit and reject his ways. And as we do that, God says, okay, look at the Israelites. We say, oh, why didn't the Israelites go into the promised land? Well, that wasn't God's will. Read your Bible. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with their continuing. Watch this. Continuing to reject the plan of God in their life. And at some point in time, God says, okay, I wanted to give it to you, but I can't. Not that I don't want to. I want to give it to you. But I can't because you keep on rejecting me. There's something that happens. Guys, go back to that passage. There's something that happens, for my grace is sufficient for you. My strength, whose strength? God's strength is made, oh, look, listen to the words, perfect. Somebody say perfect. I don't know what to, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Oh, of course you know what to do. Cry out to God. Start to depend on his strength instead of your strength. Because when you start to depend on his strength versus your strength, then Paul says, here's what happens. My strength, his strength, is made perfect in my weakness. What a great reality. Number one, understand that tough times make us tough. Number two, understand that tough times help people, what? Turn to God. Tough times help people turn to God. You know, you tell me this. Right now, is there any cure? Is there any cure to this virus? No. Not so far. I mean, there's some very, I heard just the other day, a researcher who said that that they are seeing fabulous results with what he is doing in the laboratory. But right now, on the market, but even his results haven't been tested. I mean, they've been tested just a little bit, but not what needs to be. You know what? The people who are sick, he can't go to them with the solution. Why? Because this is just in the laboratories at this point. You know what? We have no solution for this. And we're trying to figure it out, you know what, with all this. And certainly we know the research says to wash your hands, you know what I mean? And it's important to keep distance, it's important, all these different things that they're trying. But you know what? With all these different things, how many know there's a bunch of people that are still catching this virus. Well, should we be hopeless? Should we be full of fear? No, no. What we should do is what we, watch this, what we should do is what we always should have done in the first place. Live a life that's dependent upon God. Turn to God. How come it's only in the tough times that we turn to God? I remember we were in the office. This is years ago, and we got there early. We were working. We tried to do this. Oh, that messed up. We tried to do this. Oh, that messed up. This computer's messed up. That computer's jacked up. This computer, this went wrong. This program went wrong. About 2 o'clock of a very frustrating day, Tamara says this, "Man, why don't we pray?" Now, I'm not ripping on my wife, Tamara. Matter of fact, I'm commending her because, you know what, hadn't she said that, I don't think anybody else in the office would have even brought that up. We would have continued to struggle and struggle and struggle. We all laughed, and Tamara made fun of herself. She said, "I don't know why it took me till 2 o'clock to figure this out." We prayed, and I'm telling you what, the whole rest of the day just completely, I mean, just 180 changed. You know what the reality is? Tough times help people to turn to God. What is it? It's the blessing in the middle. You know what? We'll look at it a little later on. But you look at the, remember in the Bible, there's a story, and Jesus said, let's get in this boat and let's go to the other side. But watch this, right in the middle, there was a great storm. Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And the apostles, I don't know what they're doing, playing Monopoly, you know what, calling, you know what? What's the some of the food apps that they have? Hubbub or Grubhub. They're calling Grubhub, so when they get on the other side, you know what? They can have their pastrami sandwich. They're doing all this stuff, but here's what they're not doing: they're not paying attention to Jesus. Do you know this in the story? They're not paying attention to Jesus. Jesus is sleeping, and they are not paying any attention to Jesus. But when the storm came, hello, when the storm came, listen, there are mothers that, you know what, when their kids were little, they had it all wired. But I tell you what, when their kids became a teenager, that's when they got on their knees. That's when they started to cry out to God. There's men, they think they got it all together, but it's not until they can't figure their business out that they get on their knees and cry out to God and start saying, "God, I need your help now. Show me what to do." What's the blessing in the middle? The blessing is right in the middle of the storm is when the apostles start looking for Jesus. Now, I'm not saying this is right. I'm not saying it's how it should be. The reality is we ought to be looking for Jesus when it's not stormy. Amen? Amen? But it still doesn't change the blessing in the middle in this pandemic is that there are all kinds of people that are turning towards Jesus. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people who are walking, you know what, in front of my house, you know what, with their, you know, walking their dogs and just in front of the church, they're just walking. How many know people got some time now, right? People got some time now, right? And so what are they doing? You've got great opportunity to talk to people. And what do? I talk to them about Jesus. I talk to them about God. I talk to them about spirituality. I talk to them about the things that really matter. Why? Because
What I recognize
is what's taking place. What's taking place is they are turning to God because times are tough. Which brings me to my third point. Tough times help others to look to people with the answers. Tough times help people. Somebody say help people.
Listen
to me. I'm not saying that in this pandemic that everybody's turning to God. I'm not saying that. Because the reality is there's so many people in our world and they have become so callous. When I was a teenager, I wouldn't wear any shoes. I mean, I'd go everywhere without shoes. And the bottom of my feet became very, very callous. I mean, so callous, I could walk, it could be 90 degrees out, I could walk right, you know, in a parking lot, and it wouldn't affect me at all. Because the bottom of my feet were just like leather. I had developed such calluses. You know, there's people in this world and they have just said no to Christ so many times that they are, even in this pandemic, they still won't turn to God. We're not looking for those people. You know, to some extent, you can only help people to the degree that they are willing to be helped. Amen. I'm not talking about those people. And listen, don't spend a lot of time, you know what, you just recognize that there are a bunch of people that you can help. Right now, what we taught last week, raise up your head, look at the fields. They are ripe with harvest. There are so many people. Yeah, but Pastor, there's some people they don't. Okay, fine. Those people, you know what? We can't force somebody to accept Jesus. We can't enforce people to humble out. But many people, because there is no answer, they are turning to and looking for who has the answer. And the doctors don't have the answer. The researchers don't have the answer. The scientists don't have the answer. The politicians don't have the answer. But that doesn't mean that there's not people with the answer. Who has the answer? We have the answer. What is the answer? The answer is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our soon coming king. He's our savior. He's our rescuer. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the God of glory. He is the King of Kings. He is the answer. He is the hope. He is the hope. Who has that? We do. I do. And guess what? I'm not, what we taught last week, I am ready to share. I hope so many of you were sharing with your friends and sharing with your neighbors and recognizing how white the field is with harvest. But notice what's happening. In the middle of this pandemic, people are starting to recognize, oh my goodness, all these people who I thought they were all that in a bag of chips, you know what? They got nothing. They got nothing. They're telling you know what? Buy a mask and wash your hands and keep 6 feet. You know what? Can I be honest with you? I'm not saying don't buy a mask. I'm not saying don't wash your hands. I'm not mocking I'm mocking a little bit. Staying 6 feet. But what I'm saying is, come on. Are you really? Really, that's your answer? Listen, a mask ain't going to protect you. We're so used to thinking that we have the answer. Man has the answer. Man doesn't have the answer. God has the answer. He is the answer. He's always been the answer. And we have the answer. So freely you have received, freely give. Recognize, you know what? That there's people all around you. It's a great thing. What's the blessing in the middle? The blessing in the middle is, you know what? In the middle of this junk, you can start to minister like you've probably never ministered before. You know what? This happens to me all the time. Happened to me again this week. You know what I mean? I'm driving, you know what, by Burger Express. I see that they are redoing the asphalt. This just happened yesterday. I get dropped off at my house, and I feel in my spirit, hey, you need to go back there. And we're thinking about redoing our parking lot, so that was one of the reasons. But listen to me, it was way more than getting a card for the parking lot. And I sense it in my spirit. You know what? What we taught last week, when Jesus said, I have to go to Samaria. You know what I mean? This is deep. I have to go to Burger Express. And that's what I did. I got in the van. I went to Burger Express. You know what? I see the guy, and he's right in the middle. They're in their truck. He and this other guy. I don't know that this is the owner of the place. I don't know any of this. Can I tell you what? Why do we think we got to know everything? Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Yeah. There are people that are hurting, and you have the answer. Be a vessel of honor. Yeah. Open up yourself. Yeah. You know what? To what God wants to do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says this. You are the light of the world. The city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Listen, the Holy Spirit that's lit you up. Lit you up. You haven't been lit up to go in your room. Amen. Listen, we read our Bible every day. And I hope you read your Bible every day. Matter of fact, I'll say this. What a privilege it is, really. What a privilege it is to be in your homes, you know what, at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow morning, you know what, if you invite me in your home, I'm going to be in your home through the internet. You know what, I don't care. You can stay in your pajamas. You can even wear pajamas with those funky, hoodie things, right? Hoodie, footy things. You can even, buy one of those. While I'm preaching the word, you can even wear one of those caps, you know what, that they have, those night caps. It don't make no difference to me. But what a privilege it is to be able to teach the word to you. You talk about a blessing in the middle. That's a blessing. Amen. Ever since this has happened, you know what, we started ministering and teaching just 15 minutes. I love it. I love to open up the word and just share with my church family and others that aren't even in the church family, but they're coming and being part of the church family. You know what, I hope. I love to minister the word of God. What am I doing? You got lit up inside by the Holy Spirit, not to just read your Bible every day and keep it to yourself, but to be able to share. You know what? Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Why? Because it doesn't do any good. But on a lampstand. What am I doing when I'm going to? Why are you going to? You're not even hungry. Why are you going to Burger Express? Because I'm lit and I need to light somebody else up. Amen. Amen. Some of you have a weird connotation with that. I'm lit. Okay, that's your old nature. We'll talk about that next week. But on a lampstand, it goes on a lampstand and it gives light, watch this, to all who are in the house. Now this next verse, let This is act of your will. I can go, oh, that probably was, no, no, just do what the Holy Spirit asks you to do. Let your light so shine, watch this, before who? Before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, let me tell you the story. So, I go, the guy is right in the middle of eating. I can see his burgers halfway done. You know what I mean? Hey, how many like to be interrupted right in the middle of the meal? You know what I mean? It's like, hey, call me back later. But watch this. This guy, stop. All I ask him for, I say, hey, do you have a card? He said, sure. He's looking for a card, looking for a card. He finds a card. He leaves his meal right there, and he comes, you know what, to give it to me. And then he looks, because I'm in the church van, he looks and goes, oh, is this, what kind of, I said, I pastor a church in Pico Rivera. He said, wow, you're a Christian? I said, yeah. Yeah, I hope so. I'm a pastor, yeah. I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. He said, wow, you know, I'm a Christian. And watch this. Can I tell you what? There are people that are hurting, that are asking for questions. There are even people who know Jesus Christ. But they need your leadership. They need your light. They need your confidence. They need your prayer. They need your prayer of faith. You know the Bible says in James? It says to those who are sick. You know what it says? It says call upon the elders of the church and they'll pray the prayer of faith over you. Not a prayer of doubt and unbelief and, oh, I never know what God's going to do. No, the prayer of faith. Now, that's who I want praying over me. Somebody who believes in the healing power of God. Amen. And this guy started asking me questions about the coronavirus and how I thought that it was affecting the world. And then he had another question. And then he had another question. I spent 15 minutes, you know what, not talking about pavement, not talking about asphalt, not talking about any of that stuff. Just talking about the things of God. What a blessing. See, my third point. Tough times help others look to people who had the answer. Now listen to me. Understand this, church. These are going to be softballs. These aren't going to be softballs. You're going to be like, oh my goodness. Somebody asked me the other day, you know what? If I could lead them in the sinner's prayer, you know, lead them to faith. I was like, wow. Why? Because that's where people are now. Amen. That's where people are. People are hurting and they need people. Listen, if you don't have a pastor, Tamara and I want to be your pastors. I say that unapologetically. I want to be your pastor. We want this to be your church home. We want you to grow in the things of Christ. Give us a year. Come, be with me Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday, and then start hanging out with me at 10 o'clock, and we'll open up the word, and every single time I'll preach the uncompromised word, and what will happen in your life is you'll get better and better and better and better. Because yep. The more God you have, the better your life's going to be. Yeah. Period. Yeah. Period. Well, we have that. They're all around us. And now, you know, before they were like, oh, I'm too busy. Too busy making money. Too busy. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with making money. But if all you're doing is making money and you're not focusing on the things of God, all people are doing, oh, I'm just watching movies and watching the, you know what, Netflix and whatever, all the flick stuff, whatever it is. And you're just doing all this stuff. You're so busy. You could even be so busy with your family. You know what? Ooh, having, you know, a hot dog roast on Tuesday and having a, fried chicken on Thursday and, you know what, all this stuff. Hey, what about God? Latte, I wish I had a picture of her. She's the newest canine addition to our family. Woke up this morning, Latte, so happy to see me. You know what I mean? And she's full of energy. She runs down the hall, and what she's going to do is she's strategically going to jump on every piece of furniture that's higher than the floor. You know why she's doing this? Because she's so small and so little that she wants to get up in my presence. And so I'm walking in the living room, and she goes from the table to the chair to the couch, back to another table, back to another chair. What's she doing? She is, as I'm walking, she is walking as high as she can, saying, "Hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm awake. I'm awake. Hey, notice me." Can I tell you the truth? Some people were so busy in the last 4 years, in the last 8 years. Listen, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but here's what I sense. I'm speaking in the prophetic. I'm reading your mail. I don't know who you are, but I know what's taking place. You spent the last 8 years, the last 4 years, the last 12 years, the last 8 months, and you haven't really, to some extent, I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just being honest. You really haven't given God any time of day. Can I tell you about God? God, I know it's a bad example, but it's really a great example to some extent. God is like Latte. He is doing everything he can to get your attention because of his deep, listen to what the Bible says. God didn't even withhold his son from us. God has been trying to get your attention. And God got your attention now. And he doesn't hold a grudge. He just says, "Man, I'm glad you're here with me today. I'm glad you're seeking out God. I'm glad you're going to allow Pastor Drew to open up the word tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I'm glad you're seeking me. I'm glad you're worshiping me, even in your living room." Number three, those people are all around. Pay attention to who they are, because they're looking for people who have the answer. And most people don't have the answer. But we have the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And number four, tough times help people look up. Psalms 121 verse 1, look what it says. The 121st Psalm verse 1 says this: "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From hence comes my help." This is a word picture of people, watch this, being so busy doing their stuff. I got to take care of this, got to take care of that, got to make sure this happens, got to take care of this. And the psalmist says, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to raise up my eyes towards the hills. This is a word picture of towards the hills or towards the things of God, to recognize, you know what? My help comes from God. Look at that story of these men who are told to get in the boat and go to the other side. And right in the middle is what they perceive as an awful situation. In the Dead Sea, there would be, or the Sea of Galilee, there would be these storms. It could be completely peaceful. It's kind of like in this valley, and the wind comes over the hills, and just in just minutes, it can go from completely calm to just crazy storms. The Greek word is megas. We get our word mega. This was a mega storm. This storm was so bad that experienced fishermen were scared for their lives. You know, there's things that there would be things that would scare me out in the ocean that wouldn't scare these fishermen because they've seen it all the time. Do you understand that? Storms that they'd just think, oh, that I'd be like, ooh, they'd be like, this is nothing. But why? Because they were so experienced. But in this storm, they were freaked out. What did this storm cause them to do? In the middle of the middle of the storm, they sought God. What did it tend them to do? It tended them to seek what they couldn't figure out themselves. Jesus gets up. You know the story. If you don't, I'll tell it to you. He gets up. He's sleeping at the bottom of the boat. They run, get him. They start watch accusing him of not caring for them. Can I tell you what? God cares for you. God totally cares for us. They accuse him of not caring. And then what God does is he's able to show them his grace and mercy in the middle of the storm. He goes up and he says, peace be still. Here's a good lesson that they learned. And they always learn it. The power of the word of God. The power of the word of God. If you'll stop walking in fear and just saying what you think. What was that that song that we sang, the first song we sang? What are the words? It says something about not depending on your feelings. What's that? I don't live by what I see. I don't live by what I feel. I'm telling you what a great line. If we would start to really get what we sing in our worship into our hearts, people are freaked out. These guys were freaked out. And they went down to God, a lesson that they will always, how many know there's lessons in your life that you will never forget? Why? Because they were in the middle of storms where God came and rescued you. In the middle, there was a blessing. They never forget that. He came up. Imagine this. There's so much water coming on this boat. And he comes up and he says, peace, be still. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the wind. He's speaking to the storm. He's saying, stop. And what happens? And all of a sudden, it goes, this mega storm goes, and in the boat, they just hear this. You know what the Bible says? They were all amazed that even the wind obeyed God. Is that amazing? The power of God. What did they see in the storm? They saw the power of the power of God that even the storm obeyed them. And then what happened after that? Do you know what happened after that? Jesus, I'm being sarcastic here, so don't say amen to this. Jesus got them all together and he said, guys, I just want to apologize that in the middle of the storm I was sleeping. I'm sorry. And Jesus didn't say that. After he gets done, he says, guys, where was your faith? Wow. 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 Can I tell you what? In the middle of the storm, God wants us to put our full trust in Him. In the middle of it. Listen, in the middle of this pandemic, I'm asking, could God bring some correction to the body of Christ? I'm asking, could God bring some correction in your life? You know what? You grandma, you grandpa, you mom, you dad, you children, whoever listening to this podcast, could God bring correction in the middle of the storm? Is God care about you enough to look at what you're doing wrong and to confront you He did the apostles. God's not a respecter of persons. He didn't love the apostles more than he does you. He could be saying to you in the midst of this storm, hey, what you worried about? Why are you worried? Mm-hmm. Haven't I promised? Haven't I promised in my word for those who will allow, who will be protected, who will spend time with me? Have I not said to them that I will protect you from the, you know what, Jonathan, help me out, from the it's, what is that? From the perilous pestilence? I knew Jonathan would have it. I have a hard time saying those words together. You know what? But God has protected, has promised this protection. Psalm 91. Can God confront us in our craziness of not trusting him? Of listening to even people who aren't teaching the word of God, the uncompromised word of God? Is this reality? Of course it's reality. There, listen, let me tell you what. There's nothing more real than this. Something that God is put on my heart. I believe that there is a correction being made. I believe that the body of Christ, I'm not talking about the unsaved people, you know, to them too. To them, absolutely. But not just to them, to us. I believe that there's been you know what the Bible says? I'm going to finish that thought in a minute. The Bible says that God is a jealous God. There has been a mistrust in that we have put our trust in the wrong things. And I believe through this whole thing, one of the blessings that's going to come out of this is, hey, guys in the back, are you working on that list? All right, can you bring that up here for me? In the midst, watch this, in the middle of this, that there's going to be a reset in our hearts, listen to me, in our hearts to put our dependency on God. Not the medical profession, not the politicians, not our economic situation. I really believe this, that we're coming out of, I'm talking about the church, is going to come out of this, and listen, we ain't even going to smell like smoke. Who's got that list? Guys in the back, who's got that list? Do you have that list? Who's got that list? Okay. Get me that list. I don't mean to be telling you to do three different things at a time. Can you put those words up there on the screen so I can see those words? And then they're working on the list. I want to hear all the blessings in the middle. I want us to do what the Bible says, to meditate on that which is good. You know that Bible tells us that? You know, sometimes we can, I've told you this, but repetition is motor learning. You've got to be disciplined. Don't just listen to news report upon news report upon news report upon news report. Listen, I got a report. It's God's report. We got to start listening to God's report. Tyler, can you come on up and help me? When I was little growing up, we sang some wonderful, cool songs in the Baptist church that I grew up in. And it's really a blessing, because in my heart, in my memory, I have this whole, what do they call, a jukebox. I got this whole jukebox because of the heritage that I have of all these crazy, wonderful songs. And the Holy Spirit, sometimes in the morning, he'll just pick, you know what, A47. And the thing will go to A47, and it'll grab that 45, and it'll play it out. Put it in, start playing. And this morning, you know what? A47 was an old song that we used to sing, and it went, I need thee every hour. Goes like this. I need thee every hour. Oh, no, the chorus. Just the chorus. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. You know, God wants us to need him every hour. And I believe that we have been so busy. And I'm not saying that we don't come to church on Sunday and Wednesday when we can, when it fits our schedule. But the Holy Spirit reminded me this morning of this song. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. You know, in the Old Testament, God provided for the people manna. Do you remember this? But if they went out and they've got the manna, if they picked up 8 days or 7 days or even 2 days worth of manna, you know what happened to the manna? It started to get maggots. What is God trying to teach the Israelites? What is he trying to teach us? Man, you can't hoard the things of God. You can't listen to 8 sermons for the next 4 months, you know, and run on the revelation that you heard last week. No, God wants us to be at his feet every day, all the time dependent upon him. I'm telling you what, in the middle of this mess, God is blessing us. Do we have those things yet? Oh, yeah, we got some good ones. Thank you. Watch this. One person said they thank God in the middle of this mess, they have a stability in their job. Wow, that's a blessing, is it not? One person said in the middle of this mess, what I preached on, more ministry opportunity. Oh my goodness, there's ministry opportunities all over. One person said this, that now they are reading their Bible every day. One person said, family time. They're, connecting. And not only connecting with their family, but having a deeper walk spiritually. One person said, right in the middle of the mess, that God healed her knees. Amen. Then one person said, you know what, in this middle of the mess, they've been able to spend more time with their son. Listen, I know this is just a, well, look, we got some more. Thank you. Watch this. After 3 years of praying for a job, and they finally got one, last week they were hired. See, can I tell you, in the middle of all kinds of people being laid off, you know what? They got hired last week. I know another person, you know what, had the same testimony that in, you know what, they've been working on getting a job for a while, but they, you know, they're starting tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. I need thee every hour. Can we come back to where we probably never should have missed, left anyway? Amen. Can we allow this mess to really have a reset, that we would reset our hearts in the things that God wants us to really focus on? I believe that. We don't like to end a service that we don't give you an opportunity to accept Jesus. Right there in your living room. Right there in your bedroom. Right there in your kitchen. Right there in your family room. Could you just say this with me? Jesus, come in my heart. I want to be a Christian. Change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe if you said that prayer that you got born again. Make a commitment. Start to allow Tamara and I to be your pastors. Start to come every Sunday and every Wednesday. And there will be a day, it will be coming soon, that we'll be back. But until that time is, you be with us every Sunday and every Wednesday through the internet. And if you can, be with us at 10 o'clock. For others of you, I want to pray with you. You know what? And you've been busted today. Your focus has been too much on the answers that the world has, not the answers that God has. You've run on your autopilot. It's you. If that's you, right there where you're at, right there where you're at, I want you to raise your hand. Pray this with me. God, I'm sorry for running my own life. Help me from now for the rest of my life to be dependent upon you moment by moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tyler. I want to say one more thing before we close out. And I was thinking about this morning. Every Sunday, almost every Sunday, I get up here and I encourage you to give with a happy, hilarious heart. And I thought, you know what? Shayla reminds you before the service to give and the five different ways we have to give. I'm not reminding you of the five different ways to give. I want to remind you today that even in the midst of this, there is still expenses that we have at the church that we definitely have to take care of, that we need to be responsible for. And more importantly than just that, we can't, in the midst of turmoil, retreat financially from what God has called us to do. And so I want to just be bold and just say, whether you got to come down here to the church, you can walk your tithe in your gifts, and you can put it through our mailbox slot, you know what, and we'll get that, or whether you're doing some way you're giving online. I want to encourage you not only to give, but give with a happy, hilarious heart and understand that God is so faithful to us. And so walk by faith, not by sight. Continue to do what you need to do. And I want to say this because we have had so many people that are giving this week and last week without services. Let me look you direct and say, thank you. Thank you for being responsible. Thank you for being faithful. You know, isn't it nice when you walk in your children's room and they clean their room without you telling them? Isn't that nice? What are they doing? Now they're responsible, and that's what you want to do. You want to raise kids up that they don't act like kids anymore. And for so many people in our congregation, they are giving. Why? Because they know that's what, not that that's what the pastor has called me to do, but that's what God has called me to do. Amen. So you be faithful. And then I certainly want to invite you to give to the Outdoor Project. The Outdoor Project, matter of fact, we'll be sending you a video because it looks so fabulous. It looks so amazing. You know what? We're going to come back together and we're going to have a fellowship. We're going to have a fellowship center. And wait till you see it. It's the state of the art. It's beautiful. It's awesome. But you know what? It's not fully paid. And so I'm praying and believing that in whatever the Lord puts on your heart, you know what? A big or small gift, you know what? Just be obedient. Make sure in that giving you're writing somewhere Outdoor Project, because that helps us to make sure that's going to the Outdoor Project. And I want to say that to you. And then, of course, please, on Friday, we are going to be together watching, not together in a room, but together in our homes, watching The Passion of the Christ together. And then after, I want to just talk a little bit about it after the service. That's at 9:10. Is that right, Shayla? At 9:10, we're going to have a broadcast. So tune in. I'm going to be talking about, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal movie. And you'll just really be blessed as you see how passionate God is for us. Just a great time. And anyway, we love you and God love you. And we want to remind you how important it is, you know what, to stay connected together. We are so, can hardly wait till tomorrow at 10 o'clock where we'll be looking at we're in 1 Corinthians, and there's some great things in 1 Corinthians that I want to teach you. Shayla, did I forget anything?
No.
All right. We have more stuff? Oh, yeah, let's read two more. Amen. Spending time with parents. That's awesome. Awesome. Praise the Lord. The blessing in the middle. Another person just got a job. Awesome. Oh, hallelujah. It's great. Somebody says, here's a blessing. They found their new home church. Hey, if that's you, you know what? I want to welcome you. We want to say thank God that you found us. And we want to be your pastors. And what a privilege it is. Privilege. Pleasure. That was pleasure and privilege all in one word. What a privilege it is. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, you have not found it. But if you're looking for a church with pastors that are sincere and love Jesus and will teach you the uncompromised word of God, then you have found it. And we're so glad you're with us. Oh, this is great. Somebody in the middle of this mess recognized how important and wants to serve. Maybe they weren't serving before, I'm not sure. But they recognize, man, I want to get involved and serve. Do you see the blessings in the middle? How many know we could just keep on going, keep on going? Father, I call these people blessed. I thank you that we walk in your authority and your comfort and your wisdom and your joy. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. May we understand this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.